12:03 Central Time, so I'm going to go ahead and start the meeting if that's okay with you. I just have a few introductions and then I'll go through the attendance for your minutes. So hello everyone. If you joined via computer, I'm listed as Amy Holland, but it's Kirby Fi. I'm with the department. Just a few reminders before we start the meeting. If you're not speaking, please be sure that your phone or computer are muted just so we don't get any feedback throughout the meeting. Also, if you have any questions during the meeting, if you don't mind to please state your name before the question, this just helps with our minutes as well. Per Governor Lee's order, Executive Order 60, this meeting will be recorded and will be posted to the department website most likely tomorrow or the day after. I'm going to go ahead and get started with attendance. I'm going to go through the individuals who are listed who have joined via computer because I can see their names, and then I'll ask the individuals who have called in to state their names. So like I said, this is Kirby Fine with the department. Attendees, I see Alicia Price, Allison Rose Desch, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Allie Cohn, Amy Delinke, Avis Easley, Bethany Manjang, Candace Allen, Gina Steele Mack, Kubra Urkel Bryant, Kurt Hipple, Mary Nell Osborne, Matt Magrins Tillery, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Matt Sparkin, Melanie, is this Melanie Whaley?
Yeah, it's Melissa or Mel.
Oh. Why did I say Melanie? I'm sorry. Sorry, Melissa. And then okay. I see Olson AA. Can you state your first name, please?
Hi, it's Amy Olson.
Hi, Amy.
Hello.
And I have a few individuals who have called in. If you don't mind to please state your name if you've joined via the phone.
This is Carrie Menefee.
Pardon? What was your last name, Carrie?
Menefee.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
I'm Melanie Hutzel.
Melanie, it's okay. Sorry. Melanie, did you say Melanie Hutzel?
Yes, H-U-T-S-E-L-L.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
And this is Caitlin Tally.
Caitlin, did you say Tally?
Yes.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hello.
Anyone else via phone that hasn't stated their name yet?
Pam Dixon.
Hi, Pam.
Hi.
I think that's everybody. Okay, Mary Nell, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Is Chris Roberts with us?
This is Candace. Chris just sent me a text and said she would be on in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll save her her kudo for praise here. But she's been working very hard for us, so I'll come back to that. I want to welcome first-time attenders. The ones I know about are new members. Amy Olson, you're on here from Ridgeview. And you're on the C&Y committee, and Tammy Summers. Is Tammy on here? Don't see her. Tammy's also a new member. She's with Youth Villages. She's probably out there working, and she's also going to serve on our Children and Youth Committee. So we're real grateful and glad that you're with us. Thank you for your involvement and shout outs on your recruiter. We are going to talk a little bit about membership today, but I want to back up and I want to thank everybody for juggling so that we could continue to get our meeting in a virtual capacity. We rushed to do this at the recommendation and the information that was shared to us by the state. The end of the month, we may be required to meet face-to-face, and I don't think we were ready to do that. So we made the decision to go ahead and have virtual meetings, and I want to thank the state and everybody who was involved in that, and everybody who's able to jump on today with pretty short notice. Our next meeting wasn't supposed to be till the second week of November or something. So thank you, everybody. Kirby, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that about covers it. I just really appreciate everyone being able to make this call. It looks like we have 23 participants, which is great. 24 now, actually. I know I just sent the meeting invite to Ben Harrington. He's going to be joining as well, too.
Good.
Hey.
Hey, Chris, you're on. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I'll give my little shout out to Chris. I want to thank Chris. She's secretary of this Region 2 Council, and she's been very hard at work updating our membership database and keeping minutes from each session. If you, everybody who is interested and present, we need to have an application, membership application, each year. I think I'm right, Chris.
Well, what I thought might be easy for this year, and if Kirby's okay with this, since we just redid it, I sent you the grid of what we just did to send out to everybody. And if there's any corrections to that, to send those corrections back. And a couple people have done that, and that seems to be working nice and smoothly. But are we okay with doing that, Kirby?
Yeah, it really, you don't need to fill out more than one membership application unless any of your information has changed and you want to resubmit more information, that's fine. Some regional councils are just redoing it every year because membership changes so drastically. But as long as it's filled out once, if that works for you all to just send out your membership list to your council members that you see there's a missing application or there's some information missing and they fill it out and send back to you, that's okay too, as long as we just make sure we're updating it every year.
Okay.
Can I ask a question or say something? When I got that grid, I couldn't open it up. So I hope that my information is up to date. When I opened it up, I couldn't pull it up on my computer.
Okay, is this Melanie?
Yes.
Okay, Melanie will review that information and email it to you.
Okay, thanks. I just want to be sure that, I mean, I would assume that I'm good because I thought I did one fairly recently, but I just want to be sure because, like I said, I opened it up and it was just, my computer, for some reason, that file, it can't open it up.
Right, I got it. Okay, so everybody should have gotten an email yesterday. If you did not, if you'll just reach out to myself or Chris and send us an email requesting that information grid, we'll get it to you. Any other questions about that? Hi, Ben.
Hey there, how are you?
Good. All right. So the other thing I wanted to bring up just in order of business is I also sent out the minutes of our meeting. Chris had drafted that and then went back and listened to the recording of the meeting and added a few updates. So I'd like to present the minutes for review corrections. Are there any revisions or corrections to the minutes from August meeting as submitted?
So moved.
Okay, hearing no revisions or minutes, I am hearing a move to accept the minutes from Ben. We have a second.
This is Karen Barnett.
Karen?
Yes.
Thank you. Minutes are approved. Okay. I think the only real business topic I have as far as new business is to bring to your awareness that we are moving into a new year and we'll be writing needs assessments for our region. That is primarily our main order of business for this committee. And so as you are participating, you should, if you want involvement in one of our committees, I think that I've also included the chairs and membership of each committee. We have children and youth, legislative, adult committees. And if you would like to participate in any of those committees to start drafting needs assessment for 2021, please touch base with the chair, co-chair, or a member of that committee to get involved and find out when their meeting is going to be. We'll be going through and hearing reports from those committees as well during this session. Okay, Kirby, I think I'm going to pitch it back to you for just a minute.
Okay, sounds great. Let me pull up my update. Just a few updates from the department. I see we have quite a few more participants as well that have joined the meeting since we took attendance. So I just want to point that out really quick too before we get started, just for your minutes. I see Amanda Millsaps has joined. Ben Harrington is here. Chris Roberts is here. Karen Pershing is here. And did anybody join via the phone that didn't get to state their name earlier?
Yes, this is Karen Broadnax.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Okay.
Hey, Jen Hennessy is on as well.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Okay. All right. Let me pull up my updates for you all. Year two, I know this was on the last report. I swear it's almost done. Year two of the FY 2021 3-year plan is in its final stages. We had a few last minute additions to the report, so you'll all get a chance to review within the coming weeks. It'll also be helpful for you all to see what needs identified on the 2020 needs assessment have been implemented in the FY 2021 3-year plan. The FY 2021 mental health block grant application was submitted to SAMHSA on August 13th. The FY 2021 mental health block grant report is in progress. You'll also have an opportunity to review that within the coming weeks as well. Hold on, I'm getting some feedback. Sorry about that. The department and its community mental health provider partners are excited to expand the state's behavioral health safety net to uninsured children. The program offers an array of essential mental health services for uninsured Tennessee children ages 3 to 17. Services are available for family incomes at or below 138% federal poverty level. Governor Bill Lee and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated $7.6 million in new state funding in the current fiscal year to create the Children's Behavioral Safety Net. Services available through the Children's Behavioral Safety Net include assessment and evaluation, individual therapy, group therapy, family therapy, case management, transportation, family support services, medication management, and pharmacy assistance and coordination. A total of 14 community mental health centers with 136 locations statewide are participating in the program. I've included a link in this update, which I'll send to you all to include in your minutes. You can copy and paste it to your minutes that has a listing of all the providers in the area. It can also be found on the department website.
I know.
Hold on one second. Okay. The department is also expanding its school-based behavioral health liaison program to all 95 counties in the state. Governor Bill Lee budgeted and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated an increase of $3 million for the current fiscal year to expand the program. School-based behavioral health liaisons provide face-to-face consultation with classroom teachers who enhance learning environments for children who have or are at risk for serious emotional disturbance, behavioral problems, or substance use disorders. Liaisons also provide training and education for classroom teachers and serve as a link between schools and families. Liaisons currently serve elementary, middle, and high schools in 36 Tennessee counties. In state fiscal year 2020, which ended June 30th, liaisons served about 7,500 children and youth and 2,500 teachers. Liaisons held more than 11,000 individual counseling sessions and 7,300 individual consultations. The Tennessee Recovery Navigators are celebrating two successful years of connecting people who come into the emergency rooms with treatment for substance use disorder. Navigators are individuals with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery who are able to use their history to relate to the patients they meet. Since the program started in June 2018, the Tennessee Recovery Navigators have interfaced with 3,776 people in the emergency rooms. In state fiscal year 20, 77% of the patients who met with a navigator were placed in treatment. Navigators are employed by 8 community agencies spread across the state. In 2 years, the reach of the program has grown to 38 hospitals in 21 Tennessee counties. When it began, the program focused on emergency room patients who survived an opioid overdose. As it grew, the program's scope expanded to include people presenting in active withdrawal or with a primary substance use disorder. There's a new report that highlights the Tennessee Recovery Navigator program, which includes testimonials and shows the data collected through the program. This is available on the state website at www.tn.gov/recoverynavigators. I've also included this link in my update. On October 1st, 2020, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, through the Health Resources and Services Administration, announced $20 billion new funding for providers on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. Under this Phase 3 general distribution allocation, providers that have already received provider relief fund payments will be invited to apply for additional funding that considers financial losses and changes in operating expenses caused by the coronavirus. Additionally, previously ineligible providers, such as those who began practicing in 2020, will also be invited to apply, and an expanded group of behavioral health providers confronting the emergence of increased mental health and substance use issues by the pandemic will also be eligible for relief payments. The deadline to apply for this application is Friday, November 6th. For information on how to apply, it can be found on www.hhs.gov. I also included the link that takes you directly to, it's a pretty long link I can't read off, but it takes you directly to the area on hhs.gov that will show you how to apply if needed. And my last update, which was announced yesterday, the department has secured an additional $7.2 million in federal grant funding to respond to mental health and addiction concerns caused by COVID-19 and recent natural disasters. SAMHSA has awarded the department an additional $3.5 million to continue to address mental health concerns caused by COVID-19. This funding supplements a previous grant of almost $1 million. Crisis counseling services through this program are now available in all 95 counties. SAMHSA has also awarded the department $3.7 million to respond to the mental health effects of flooding in 2019. In February and March 2019, 59 Tennessee counties sustained significant damage from severe weather, and FEMA responded with a disaster declaration. Funding under this grant will support mental health crisis services, behavioral health safety net services, and substance abuse treatment and recovery services. I have a link to all the counties that are covered by the 2019 disaster declaration included in the update. These latest grant announcements come on top of a $2 million grant from SAMHSA to respond to the behavioral health impacts of COVID-19 and a $500,000 grant from FEMA to respond to the impacts of the tornadoes in March. And that is what I have.
is. Thank you. So those links, you're going to send those out to us, or they've already been sent? Some of them have been sent, but the ones from yesterday I don't have yet, right?
Right. Yesterday, that hasn't been sent, but the links are included in my update, which I'm going to send to you all via email now. So you can attach it to your minutes, but you can also include those links to your council members as well.
Wonderful. Okay. So Kirby, you know, one of the topics I had on here was to talk about the calendar for the meetings in 2021. We don't know what is going to happen as far as meetings.
Right.
But I do know that we are not on the calendar to have another. Our next meeting is not until February 10th.
Correct.
So at this point, I'm kind of treating it like it's going to be an in-person meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the recommendation?
Yeah, I think everyone right now, all the councils are just treating their next meeting as if it will be in-person. And any updates that come along the way, we'll let you know as soon as we can. But we just wanted to get that date on the calendar for you.
Okay. So Candace, I'm going to reach out and say, can we ask Helen Ross to host us if we are a go on that on February 10th from 11 to 1?
I think that we still have that on the calendar, but I'll have to double check. And of course, that'll be contingent upon what's going on, as you know, goes without saying. Because right now we're not having any meetings from the outside for the most part, not large meetings. So, but it is on the calendar. I checked this morning.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, tentatively February 10th, but definitely that date for our next meeting. That way we won't have to juggle if it's virtual or live. But at this point, we're planning live because we are going to have a new world. I don't know what's going to happen. Okay. Any other kind of businessy announcements before we get to committee reports? Okay. Let's go with the Children and Youth Committee report. Have you all met?
Hi, this is Amy Olson. So I just took over CNY chair with Tammy Summers from Youth Villages, and we met earlier the first October, first Thursday of October. What was that? The first, actually October 1st.
Wonderful. Well, welcome and thank you for jumping in there. So Amy Olson and Tammy Summer are co-chairs of the Children and Youth Committee.
Correct.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you met October something?
First.
And what'd you talk about?
So our first goal was to really expand our membership. So Tammy and I did a poll to see when was the best time to meet. And we the poll showed the first Thursday of each month, so that's what we did. And then we just kind of started from the beginning, since there was a lot, we were new, and then there was a lot of other new people. So we just talked about what the Region 2 Policy and Planning Committee's goals are. Mary from McNabb was able to attend, so she reviewed what the last assessment, the goals that they had identified. So we just kind of showed people what the assessment looked like, and we started to brainstorm new ideas for this coming year's assessment. And then we also looked at the region and different agencies, what our successes have been so far for the last fiscal year. We have an agenda if you want me to send it to you, and minutes.
Did I mute or unmute? Now I'm unmuted. Would you like to review some of those successes that you guys came up with? Because I think that would be really good for folks to reflect on and hear, because I know there's been some good work out of this committee.
Sure. One of the biggest ones was just how all the agencies responded to COVID. So we looked at different things. Some of the agencies have COVID hotlines set up, various resources, and then just the basic of how we kept our businesses open, you know, going to telehealth to support our clients, things like that. Let's see, some other, the Anderson counties now is starting a safe baby court. So we were all very excited about that. McNabb and Children's Hospital, they partnered to add a psychiatrist to the ER. And then also they did some virtual mental health assessments that could be completed either at the PCP office or in homes. So again, just trying to be as creative as possible in reaching our clients. Ridgeview, we have partnered with DCS and Anderson, Campbell, Morgan, Roan, and Scott, and we now provide mental health assessments from those offices via telehealth. So the DCS worker, the family, they can just remain at the DCS office and we will do an intake assessment to see what type of services the family needs. We also just talked about the success of this CNY subgroup and how we've been able to have a voice for children and families instead of lumping it all together in the adult issues. And we really saw success with that, as you mentioned earlier, that we now have a school-based behavioral health liaison in all 95 counties, and that we've expanded the behavioral safety net to the CNY population. So we were really happy that the Department of Mental Health was able to do both of those things for children and families.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Okay. All right, moving along. Adults. Candace, do you have anything?
We do. We met yesterday, but just to provide some framework, I also attended the state adult committee that was earlier this morning. And we were talking about the needs assessments that we put forward last year. And that's what we also talked about in our subcommittee yesterday. But just for an overview, I think it will help just kind of frame, you know, moving forward with Region 2. Last year across the state, the adult issues that were moved forward were transitional housing and respite for individuals coming out of hospitals, inpatient hospitals, EDs, and jails. And then we also talked about, which also parallels, I think, one of the ones that we submitted as well from Region 2. And also paralleling what we've submitted in Region 2 was the workforce development and that lack of, you know, maintaining or obtaining, you know, psych medical staff and moving forward with that. So as far as those two issues go, pretty much was what we talked about yesterday. We continue to address permanent housing, transitional housing, particularly in regard to the criminal justice sector, you know, coming out of jails. And I know that Amanda Millsaps, she's here, also, you know, discussed, and we've talked about this a lot before, the challenges that you get with people that are coming out that may be on the registry for sex offenders, and that there's a whole gamut of what that means and the challenges with that, because that's oftentimes where we are spending a lot of time if you're criminal justice liaisons or case managers trying to make sure that there's a good transition for those individuals. So we identified that. We also talked about an issue, you know, Ben had brought up that, you know, there's always that
disconnect of getting people's services, getting their tank care reinstated, getting everything else done because it's cut off while they're incarcerated, and that Kentucky actually has been able to implement some kind of system where people still receive Medicaid while they're in jail. And so we're trying to look into that as maybe an issue that we might put forward. I did not have an opportunity to talk about that today with the state, but we'll continue at the state adult call, but we'll continue to push that forward as well. So basically, we just started the conversations about the needs assessment. And so we're welcoming whatever process that we determine how we're going to get everybody involved with that this year, Mary Neal. I'm not sure if you're going to do the subgroups or how you want to do it, but we just kind of started there.
When is your next meeting going to be? Do you know? Did you set a date for that?
We usually have them a couple of days before the, no, we usually, we usually have them a couple of days or the morning of the Region 2 meeting is how we've normally done that with the adults.
Okay. So if you're not on a committee and your issues, your concerns, your expertise are regarding adult issues, you've got a good overview of what kinds of adult populations and concerns the committee's addressing. So reach out to Candace or reach out to me and you can get involved with that committee work. It's really very important.
How do I get in touch with Ms. Allen?
What is your name?
This is Melanie.
Melanie, you can get her through me.
Okay.
Just email me.
I'd like to be involved in that committee.
I'll help you out.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Mina, I also have one question. Do we have a subcommittee for A&D issues now? Or is that rolled in now to the Children's Committee or the Adult Committee?
We did when I first came on board, and then what we kind of got to was that it had rolled in. It was not a standalone committee. Am I right, Amy? I'm gonna reach out to Amy.
So the last time that we met in person, it was still a standalone committee, and Gina was the chair of that committee. Gina, are you on the call?
Yeah, I am.
Has there been any changes since then, or has that committee rolled into the other two?
I haven't heard of any changes or that it has changed, no.
Well, we'll leave it as it is. So let's go to, I guess that can be the next report. Where did I just flip my page? Or Ben, you're next, actually, and then Gina. Legislative Committee, do you have a report? You're muted. I know.
Thank you. I'm going to punt. I am absolutely unprepared, and I know the state is obviously in a place where they're moving things towards the governor's office for consideration with the governor's package, which is usually always, you know, taken to the legislature around February 1st. But I don't know where any of that stands. Kirby, do you know?
Can you repeat that, Ben? You cut out a minute.
Can you identify what, if any of the legislative recommendations are going from the commissioner's office to the governor's office for consideration with the
No. I think because of what's happening with COVID in particular, that was pushed until next session to both. I believe both of them. Well, one of them with changing the name, the department name, I know that was tabled until next year and was asked to be resubmitted
Right. That was the only recommendation that was made. And then the other one, which was about the surveys, the Department of Health surveys, where we would collaborate with the Department of Health, that got put on hold too because of COVID, because, you know, they're in the midst of contact tracing and all that. So that has not been forgotten. It's just kind of on our radar. And I know the Region 4 proposal, which was the department name, was asked to be resubmitted till next year.
Right. The only other thing I would just like to get ahead of people's radar screen, and I can send this to Mary Nell to share out with the committee, with the membership. The first 3 months of the fiscal year actually look very good with revenue over projections in kind of a significant way. So, you know we had to tighten the belt in March and June and not fund some new programs and services, but so far revenue is significantly above projection in this current fiscal year. And if that trend continues, then we might be able to navigate our way through COVID without any significant changes to state budget. But so I'll send you the details. I'm keeping a spreadsheet every month. They report, and right now it looks good.
All right. Thanks, Ben. I guess I had one question about the governor's extension, which also included this meeting being able to be virtual. That is set to expire in the end of October. And I think there's several items in there, Kirby. One is that 10 care patients being able to continue telehealth services versus in person with unlicensed or non-licensed therapists. I don't know where your knowledge is or information is about the end of the month and what's going to change, revert. Can you give us any insight there?
I don't have any information on that, or if any order will be extended to just include some things and not all things. Kurt, are you still on the line? Do you have any info regarding this?
Hey, Kirby. Yeah, I'm here. Mary Nell, we don't have any inside info about the governor's office and their intent to extend or let those executive orders expire. There are a handful of provisions in those executive orders that are very beneficial to the providers we contract with and the people the department serves. So I know that we are watching it very closely. I'm in contact with the governor's legal counsel a lot around this issue, but I think the kind of habit has been to assess how things are going a little closer to the time of expiration and extend or suspend closer to that expiration date. So sorry, that's a long answer for saying I don't know.
We'll accept that. Thank you. So that is something that we continue to prepare for. It's kind of like us planning our next meeting in February. Will it be in person? Will it be virtual? That's, imagine doing that for an entire clinic or several agencies. And it's, we'll juggle it, but not easy. Okay. So next, substance abuse report, Substance Abuse Committee.
To my knowledge, the committee has not met unless Amy or someone has gotten together. I will send out an email right after this to set up a meeting. Hopefully we can meet at least once before Christmas to work on our what we'll submit for the needs assessment.
Okay. I know that there has been a serious, significant uptick in overdoses in the last, 7 months? And that is something that we're addressing on all fronts. So thank you. Okay. Any other reports?
Mary Nell, the DEA is having National Drug Take Back Day on the 24th this month. So that will be going, people can dispose of their medication properly.
The DEA is doing that, so they will take meds prescribed, illegal, any kind of meds?
No, it is legal medication, unused prescription. That's my toddler in the background, but yes, it is legal medication. So prescription, over-the-counter, veterinary medication, those are the types that you can safely dispose of.
And you take those to where the site's going to be. Do we have a list of sites maybe?
Yeah, you can go to the DEA website for the different sites. We have two in Roane County. All of the counties have different sites.
Okay, good. That's good information. Pet medication. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, they don't finish it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Same problem.
Hey, Mary Neal, this is Candace again. Just some additional information for the substance use the committee. The state last year, the state adult committee put forth recovery housing to push for more recovery housing. And then also a harm reduction campaign and education in regard to that, I think particularly with medical providers, in addition to, you know, the community at large. Those were the two items for that.
Thank you, Candace. Yeah, we had two mental health and two substance abuse items put forth last year. Everybody should have received a copy of those, and if your committee or you would like those again, we can send those out very easily. So just let me know or let somebody know. All right, any other information, I suppose, announcements?
Mary Nell?
Yeah.
I have two things, if I might.
You may.
First, I want to direct membership's attention to Monday evenings at the 5 o'clock news hour on WBIR through the state of Tennessee Community Cares Act money. We are doing a huge campaign with WBIR in their news hour. They're doing a Mental Health Monday segment, and they're also running mental health screening advertisements across all of East Tennessee, as well as on WBIR, but other cable channels for us too. And so that's in response to I don't know if everyone else has seen the same phenomenon, but you know, there's a lot of evidence about mental health needs of communities increasing during this COVID emergency. And we've certainly seen it with more people taking screenings, that sort of thing. And we've seen it with volume increases at the call center as well. And so what we're trying to do is respond. And, you know, if folks are worried and anxious, have lost jobs, you know, now losing unemployment support, that sort of thing. You know, it's trying to help people figure out their mental health treatment need. And then once they acknowledge that, then we're able to move folks through the referral process to treatment providers, whether they be public or private, does not matter, as long as we find them a place. So that's going on with any commercials you might see running on WBIR, as well as popping into cable. The other thing is, Mary Nell, I'm going to send you the link to the Fall Psych Symposium and ask you share it with the committee. It is happening November 18th, 19th, and 20th, 3 days, potential for 22 hours of CE, and it's all virtual, nothing in person, but I'll send that out to you. And I just sent you a minute ago the revenue surplus information that we're observing.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, I've got a few announcements as well. Just so you guys are aware, today, both the City of Knoxville and Knox County Mayors, we released the All for Knox strategic plan for the community, which is how to address substance misuse, kind of the beginnings of that process. So the plan is now visible on the All for Knox website. I'll put the website in the chat. At the same website, people can sign up to become a part of the implementation. So they can join a team that is specific to their field and then be able to really get involved in making this happen, as opposed to us just having a document here. Also, through a grant through the department, we actually will be starting an overdose fatality review team here in Knox County. The staff person for that position will be starting next month. We're hoping to be reviewing cases by January. That same grant also allowed for us to actually provide some assistance and partner with Metro Drug Coalition to address some recovery housing needs. So we're really excited about that. It should be able to help a significant amount of people into some form of recovery housing. And the individuals that are specifically helped by that are individuals that have some form of justice involvement. So we'll be kind of looking at that a bit more as well. And then also, if you guys are interested, this is not specific to Knox County. This is for the region. Right now, we're in the process of writing an acute overdose outbreak response plan. So if anyone is interested in being a part of the planning process for that or wants to sit on a focus group for that, feel free to reach out to me. That's just one of the things that we have going on right now related to overdose and seeing how our community can have a more coordinated response and increase our levels of alerts and different types of notification. And then there's also been some applications throughout the state to the Department of Health that are to potentially get access to ODMAP, which would allow us more real-time data to address overdose in our communities.
Okay, so if you look on your chat box, if you've got your computer, there are two links that we've been given already. Thank you, ladies. And one is about the takebackday.dea.gov, and the other one is the site that Amy's saying, City and County Knox, all number 4 Knox.org. So thank you. We'll put that in the minutes also. Other announcements?
Hey, Mary Nell. Hey, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Wanted to just kind of piggyback off of what Ben was talking about with some of the uncertainty that our house folks have, residents either with us at KCDC or not. There are going to be a lot of other emotions coming, especially in the next coming weeks with KUB resuming their shutoffs. Wanted to send something out through you if the group agrees that KUB has been exquisite throughout this time in not evicting and not having pursuing the shutoffs. They are continuing to be really excellent partners in our community. And so they are looking at the difference here. They're not going to be reaching out to residents. Residents need to reach out to KUB if they are not unable to pay for their bills. I've got two flyers. I'd really like to reach out to this group. To send out to your residents, your clients, patients, whomever we serve, anybody that receives this type of service, to hopefully avoid an eviction. I will say KCDC is not pursuing any evictions, at least through the end of the year, and will not pursue any evictions based on non-payment of rent. But this is one that we have really tussled with, especially getting into the colder months. We will have to pursue eviction if someone has no power. What we can't have happen is what has happened in the past, where people are trying to stay warm, so they build fires in the floors and they build fires on top of their stoves just to stay warm. That puts a lot of other people at risk. And so if they don't have, and not including any of the other medical needs like oxygen, things like that. So we're going to do what's best for our residents and pursue eviction in that case. That's not a tough sentence to, or that's not an easy sentence to say. But it's for the greater need. So I really implore all of my partners here to make sure that we're reaching out to our folks, making sure they're as educated as they possibly can be about the assistance that might be out there. So with the, your approval, I'll go ahead and send this to you if I can.
Sure.
Thanks.
Other announcements. Thank you, Matt. Any upcoming events besides the Mental Health Association Fall Psych Symposium? Oh, Artsclamation. I could talk about that. That's my Artsclamation is going to be virtual this year. It's our big fall fundraiser for Peninsula. It's going to be online, and I will send that information out. It's going to be a whole, I think it's 4 weeks this year, but all the art items, including items made by service recipients, individuals who have diagnoses, are all of those materials and items for sale are going to be out there. So it's not an auction. It is an online art sale. And so I'll send out that information. All right, anything else? Kirby, do you have anything else?
This is Caitlin Talley, 5 Behavioral Health. I just wanted to let you all know that we're still doing teleassessment, Zoom outpatient, and we have beds every day. So if you know anyone in need, just don't hesitate to call me or to call our admissions team.
This is Caitlin with Creekside, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. I know we have some. Yeah, go ahead.
Kirby, I don't have anything to add on my end. So any other updates you all have, but I'm done.
All right, Kurt, are you done? Kurt?
Sorry, I'm unmuting. Yes, I'm done. It was nice being with y'all today.
Are you still working at home with your children? There they are.
Yes. Yeah, right on cue.
That's what I was waiting on. I love virtual. Go, kids, go.
They're having a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. Now, for me, it's a lot of fun. Not so much fun for you, right?
Right. It's been good, but it's been a challenge sometimes.
That sounds like a lot more fun than I'm having. All right. Well, thanks. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone.
Avis.
This is Avis. Hey, how you doing? Hi, everyone. I just wanted to just take a minute out to thank you, Marinell, and everyone on the council, because when we were trying to move these meetings, and Kirby was trying to get the schedule, and we kind of met with the regional chairs. It was exactly like Marinell said, you know, just kind of a last minute thing. And to be able to adjust your schedule, particularly Marinell as chair, to get this in line with that October 28th meeting, I certainly appreciate you and all of the council members. Even though it's a last minute, wonderful turnout. So I just appreciate y'all for that. And thank you. And hopefully we'll be able to meet in person soon, but if not, we'll continue to keep everybody safe. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you, Avis. It's these are strange days, but we are continuing to offer great services. I want to thank everybody for everything you're doing for the community, and especially during these times. Everybody stay safe. Do we have any more comments, questions? Okay, last chance. Going once, going twice. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.